Consider for just a moment the roles in which you find yourself to be effective. Is your effectiveness seen very much in your work as a secretary, a machinist, in your role as a parent, in your role as a manager, a custodian, a physician? We are not all effective in the same ways. We are effective in different ways, in different roles. 3 out of the 4 people at my house are much more effective than I am when it comes to playing the piano. I can only play Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater. That's the extent. They can each play inventions and songs and hymns and other things. But I may be further along than some of you in that way. I may be more effective than some of you because I can point to the alto notes, while you still sit in your seat wondering if your alto is your toe beside your big toe or your pinky toe. Effectiveness varies greatly from individual to individual. The Apostle James teaches us that there is at least one area in which all of God's children can be effective, and that is the area of prayer. Let's go in our copies of the Scripture to the Epistle of James, which is part of the Christian New Testament. You can find his letter to the dispersed tribes. That you can find that on page 853 of the Pew Bible. Lord willing, next week we will study the final 2 verses of the epistle, and then the following week on November the 18th, we will review our study, and we will have a service of review and a recitation of the book of James. We're there in James chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to read the first 18 verses. Please follow along in your copy. "Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is corroded, and the rust of them shall be a witness, will be evidenced against you. It will eat up your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold," or see, "the hire," or the wages of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. They cry out, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Now a word to the church," he says, "be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. My brethren, take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. Behold, we count those blessed or happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the purpose of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into condemnation. Is anyone among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, or he was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruits. Throughout our study in the book of James, the apostle has given to us many, many items that will be true of genuine followers of Jesus Christ. I've tried to remind us of those most weeks because we need to be reminded that it does matter how we live as Christians, and because there are many people in our world today who claim the name of Jesus Christ, but they're not truly a follower of Jesus Christ. They have been deceived into thinking so. So James tells us that genuine followers of Christ will endure trials with faith, that true Christians will receive God's word, and they will do so with meekness, that genuine followers of Christ will be gracious to the needy without partiality, that genuine followers of Christ will produce good works, will have pure speech, will be marked with wisdom that comes from above, being pure and peaceable and open to reason, that genuine followers of Christ will submit to God, resist the devil, will draw near to God, will repent of sin, will not speak evil against a brother or sister in Christ, will desire to do the Lord's will have a heavenly view of their material belongings, that genuine Christians will have patience during times of injustice as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Now we will have straight talk. Our yes will be yes and our no will be no. And here in the final test of genuine faith, of living faith, James ends his letter with this idea that genuine followers of Jesus will be people of prayer. That we will be people of prayer. In any of your life's circumstances, praying is always the correct response. James says, if you're suffering, pray. If you're cheerful, if you're merry, pray. If you're sick, pray. If you're weak spiritually, pray. If you're a stay-at-home parent, pray. If you have empty nest struggles, pray. If you don't know how to fit in socially or with other people in our church, pray. If you're grieving the loss of a dear saint, pray. If your family is going through the terrible two realities, pray. If your family is going through the realities of a child going through their terrible 22s, pray. If there's overwhelming temptations in your life, pray. If you're discouraged, pray. If you're disappointed in how God is unfolding His perfect, all-wise plan in this world, pray. If your marriage is on the rocks, pray. If you're overjoyed, you come to the table and you're overjoyed at God's goodness to you, how He could do this, pray. Prayer is always the correct response for a Christian. One theologian put it this way: in prayer, there are untapped resources. Uncompromising tracts of land hide rich deposits of minerals. Gray seas cover a wealth of natural gas. Such is the hidden power of prayer. There are great resources that are waiting to be tapped. There is a huge potency to release. James says, not every Christian can be a great theologian or preacher or missionary or evangelist, but every Christian can be an effective person of prayer. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. These few verses, 16b, 17, and 18, we will see quickly this morning that powerful prayers reveal God's righteous children. Secondly, that powerful prayers reveal God's divine ways. And thirdly, that powerful prayers reveal God's sovereign grace. We begin and spend the majority of our time thinking in the end of verse 16 into 17, that powerful prayers reveal God's righteous children, who God's children are. Look at verse 16 again. The end of the verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. prayer. It's the word entreaty. It's referring to calling out to God with your petitions. We often quote this part of the verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person, the righteous man availeth much. We quote it often in reference to prayer. But I would be inclined to believe that we don't understand the full scope of what this verse means, especially using some of the older words, such as effectual and availeth. The prayer of a righteous one is much able to show itself effective. Or the proposition could read this way: the prayer of a righteous person has great power while it is working. What does James mean when he talks about the righteous person? Who is this referring to when he says the prayer of a righteous person will have great power while it is working? He's simply talking about a believer. He's talking about those who are righteous by virtue of God. He's talking about those who stand acquitted before God, who are standing before God as innocent instead of guilty. They are the righteous people who have effective prayers. Well, why in the world would someone need to be acquitted before God? That's a good question. The answer is because every human being begins this life guilty before God. Therefore, every human being either continues in their guilt or is acquitted by God. Guilt is the result of our own sinful nature and is also the result of our own sinful choices. Each of us has willfully committed sins, crimes against God, stealing, greediness, coveting, idolatry, adultery, whatever the case may be. And all of our sin comes with a penalty of eternal spiritual death. But God explains to us through His Word that He has loved us in spite of our sin, and that even while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. This is what we as followers of Christ have celebrated this morning as we have come to the table. Christ's death was substitutional. God said that He would accept Christ's death instead of ours. Therefore, whoever repents and believes that Christ's death was in their place, those people will be rescued from eternal and spiritual death in hell. And when that happens, someone is declared righteous. And that is to whom James is speaking and who he is talking about this morning in this passage when he tells us that the righteous person, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, avails much. Let me just pause real quick here this morning. If you have not been acquitted by God, if you have not been declared righteous, or if you have questions whether or not you have been acquitted by God, that you have been declared righteous, you are among friends, whether this is your first time or you've been coming here for years gathering with us. I would encourage you today, I would urge you today to call out to Jesus and be saved from the penalty of your sin. Today could be the day of salvation for you. If you have questions about that, we would love to further explain it to you after the service or later this week or when you are available. James teaches that those who are righteous will show their justifying faith. In other words, if whoever is genuinely a follower of Jesus will display that justifying faith by their daily efforts to conform their life to God's will. You can't just call yourself a Christian and then live your life however you want. That's not what the Scripture says describes as a Christian. True Christians are people of prayer. And James encourages us that true Christians can pray with great power. Effective prayers. A person who has been declared righteous by God, that person's prayer is able to do much. Not because it's magical, but its effectiveness and its power are unlimited because that prayer comes from a child of God, one who has been declared righteous by God, and it's going to their Heavenly Father, a God who is unlimited in His goodness and in His power. Our prayers are effective not because of some kind of magic. Our prayers are effective as those who have been declared righteous because we are praying to the one who has unlimited goodness, who has unlimited ability. Yesterday morning, I was visiting with our brother and sister, Bill and Betty Gast. Please continue to pray for our brother and sister. Bill's medication was increased last night. He's receiving oxygen as needed. And Bill and Betty, I know you're going to listen to this recording off the website tomorrow, so please know that your church family loves you and is praying for you. But as I visited with Bill and Betty yesterday, they had recounted how they had gone through one of their favorite passages, John 14. Again, they have committed this passage to memory years ago. And after reading through John 14, Betty asked Bill, How do you feel knowing that it will be soon when you go to the place that he has prepared for you? And Bill answered, "It feels wonderful." What a glorious answer. He's trusting in the unlimited goodness and the unlimited ability of his heavenly Father. Christian, when you pray, you are praying to a Father who has unlimited goodness and unlimited ability. We sang of it this morning. You're praying to the God who made the mountains rise and spread the seas abroad and built the lofty skies. He is the God of all creation. Only God could do that. Perhaps you've been keeping track of the group of people that was moving from Central America towards up through Mexico to the United States border. And just so that you can be at ease, I'm making zero political comment on that this morning. But it's obvious as we think about a group that is that large and that is moving. It's obvious how difficult a task it is, logistically, financially, socially, and in every other way, to hold such a large group together in that kind of movement. Even with the medicine of our day and technology of our day and all of the other modern day advantages that we enjoy in 2018. But think back to the children of Israel as they exited the land of Egypt, being freed from their bondage there. And as they came together as a group of more than a million people, many, just a multitude of people, and they came to a sea, and God spread that sea so that they could walk through on dry ground. And they traveled together for 40 years until they reached the promised land. Only God is able to do that. God is unlimited in his goodness and in his ability. Think about all of his power and all of his knowledge while existing everywhere at the same time. Think about that there's no creature that is outside of his concern. He even knows when a sparrow falls from a tree. Think about the fact that he has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. We can't even comprehend that fully. God is a God of unlimited goodness and unlimited ability. That is the one to whom we pray. Joshua prayed, and the sun stood still. Elisha prayed, and the Shunammite woman's son came back to life. Hezekiah prayed, and 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died. The Syrophoenician woman prayed, and her daughter was delivered from a devil. There is power in prayer because we are praying to the one who is unlimited in his goodness and in his ability. James makes this proposition. The prayer of a righteous person has great power while it is working. And then he immediately jumps to an Old Testament example. As you will remember, this is a common technique by the apostle. This is the fourth time he refers to an Old Testament character. He's already reminded us of the faith of Abraham, the works of Rahab, and the steadfastness of Job. And now he brings up Elijah, a great Old Testament prophet. And he brings up a prophet that his readers, these Hebrew readers, would be quite familiar with. In fact, they probably remembered the prophets and reading and hearing about how he had been fighting with Ahab and Jezebel. They were familiar with Elijah's slaying the prophets of Baal and then fleeing for his life, about how he was exercising power that was more than human, about how he was able to see sights that other mere mortals had not seen, about his raising others from the dead, about his increasing the widow's meal and oil, about how he was eating from the beaks, had eaten from the beaks of ravens. How he had been feasting in the wilderness at the hands of angels, prophesying famine and then the coming of rain. How he had outran Ahab's chariots, about how he was learning of the secrets of God's presence in the caves of Horeb. How he was someone who vanished from the earth in a chariot of fire, and how he was recognized as someone who was paving the way for the coming of God's Son, the promised Messiah. And what does James point to us, his readers, after calling to mind this great prophet of God? What is the big point that James wants to drive home to us? The prophet was a man just like us who put on his pants one leg at a time, or his robe two legs at a time, however that kind of thing works. But he was a man with a nature like ours. The emphasis in verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions, or he was a man with a nature like we have. And he prayed. Elijah was like you. Elijah was like me. That he would rise to the heights of walking with God and then sink to the depths of despair and discouragement. Elijah was like us at points. He was brave, and then he fled for his life. He would be selfless, and then filled with self-pity. Elijah was not on a spiritual high 24/7, 365, for all of his life. James puts the stress on the humanity of this prophet. The Apostle James wants you and me to understand that prayer is the high privilege of all of God's children. This powerful weapon of prayer is available to the humblest of God's children. Friend, you don't have to be a super saint to wield the weapon of prayer. Every Christian can be an effective person of prayer. This has been known in our church family over our 17-year history. The powerful weapon of prayer is available to the humblest of God's children. And we have been privileged over the last 4 years to see this truth illustrated in the life of our dear sister, Ruth Lake. She was not a prophet that God used to turn a nation back to Him. She was not the center of attention when we gather together to worship our God. And though she graduated valedictorian at Hempfield in 1956, she was not a person of vast formal theological training. But she was a righteous person because God had declared her to be a righteous person through the blood of Jesus Christ. She was a humble child of God who continually called on her God, who she believed to be unlimited in His goodness and in His ability. And that is why her prayers had great power while they were at work. She prayed to a God of unlimited goodness and of unlimited ability. You see, not every Christian can be a great theologian or preacher or missionary or evangelist. But every Christian can be an effective person of prayer. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Powerful prayers reveal who God's righteous children are. Secondly, powerful prayers reveal God's divine ways. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. The illustration from Elijah's life is referring back to what's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, which, by the way, would be a fantastic Sunday afternoon read for you. The people of God, the Israelites, were engaged in spiritual adultery and engaged in double-mindedness, which James has already addressed several times through this epistle. James tells us that Elijah prayed fervently that it would not rain. Now, actually, there's no record in the Old Testament of that prayer. We don't have record that James prayed specifically that it would not rain in the Old Testament, but evidently through history or through extra-biblical material or through the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to James that Elijah had prayed that prayer that it would not rain. This is huge. Elijah had been told by God that drought was coming. And so he prays in that direction. He's praying in the direction of the divine ways that God is revealing. And so when the prophet prayed, these prayers ended up revealing the divine ways of God. James tells us that Elijah prayed fervently. He was passionate about his prayers. This isn't a call. This isn't, it's not saying that if you are more sincere or more earnest, that you will gain more of an audience with God. Neither is it a suggestion that a manufactured passion in praying is what God is looking for. But it does tell us that passionately praying about what God is passionate about pleases God. Elijah had passion in his prayers. Jacob had passion when he wrestled with the angel. Hannah had passion when she prayed for a son, so much so that others thought her to be drunk. Ezra was passionate in prayer when he tore his cloak and fell on his knees. Paul the apostle was passionate when he prayed in Romans chapter 9, verse 3. God had specific plans. God remains ruler over all. And when we pray in accordance with his will, his divine plans are revealed to us and to his church. You see, not every Christian can be a great theologian, preacher, missionary, or evangelist. But every Christian can be an effective person of prayer. Powerful prayers reveal God's righteous children, reveal God's divine plans. And lastly, powerful prayers reveal God's sovereign grace. Verse 18, and then he prayed again. I love that. I mean, as if it's not wild enough that he prays and it doesn't rain for three and a half years. Verse 18, James simply says, then he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Literally, with prayer, he prayed. With prayer, he prayed. He just prayed. James was not praying in an arbitrary way. He prayed because of the spiritual adultery that Israel was engaged in. And after the fantastic display of God's power on the mountain, Elijah again prays. And this time it was for the end of the drought. And that's recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 18. Here it says, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Verse 45, and in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. Of course there was. He was praying to the God of unlimited ability and unlimited goodness. He was praying in a way that revealed the divine ways of God. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain on the earth. Elijah prays, and the heavens give rain, and the earth bears its fruits. That is powerful prayer, revealing the sovereign grace of God. One commentator put it this way: the picture of rain pouring down on parched ground perfectly illustrates God's outpouring of spiritual blessing on the dry and parched souls of struggling believers. Do you have a dry and parched soul this morning? Pray. Prayer reveals the sovereign grace of God, blessing lavished upon our weary souls. God reveals his sovereign grace through the powerful prayers of his righteous children. Sometimes we don't pray because we don't think it's going to do any good. We get a little bit cynical, don't we? Sometimes we pray not believing that it will change anything. Augustine was born on November 13th, 354, in what today is known as Algeria. That was 1,664 years ago. He grew into his adulthood enslaved to sexual lust. He gave himself to the pursuit of those desires. But he had a praying mother. Augustine would later say, she shed more tears over my spiritual death than other mothers shed for the bodily death of a son. Augustine's mother once sought counsel from an old bishop who had once been a heretic himself. And this old bishop's counsel was not what Augustine's mom wanted to hear. And in reference to Augustine's foolish ways, his heretical ways, the old bishop said, leave him alone. Just pray to God for him. From his own reading, he will discover his mistakes and the depth of his profanity. The bishop said, leave me alone. Leave me and go in peace. It cannot be that the son of these tears should be lost. Eventually, Augustine was converted, and afterwards he recounted his mother's experience. She was jubilant with triumph and glorified God, who was powerful enough and more than powerful enough to carry out his purpose beyond all hopes and dreams. You see, not every Christian can be a great theologian, preacher, missionary, or evangelist. But every Christian can be an effective person of prayer. The prayer of a righteous person has great power while it is working. You may not be as effective as someone else in playing a musical instrument, in making decisions quickly, in evangelizing the lost, but you can be an effective person of prayer if you are one of God's righteous children. That is, if you have been acquitted by God, if you have been declared by God's grace to be righteous. Struggling to parent adult children? Pray. Facing the mounting financial pressure? Pray. Overjoyed at God's grace? Pray. Discouraged about your own physical appearance? Pray. Fighting for joy? Pray. Frustrated with God's plan for your life, how it's unfolded? Pray. Christian, just pray. Whatever the life circumstance for you, the child of God, prayer is always the correct response. And by the grace of God, the people of Harvest Bible Church have been made righteous. And also, by His grace, the prayers of these righteous people have great power while they're at work, because they are praying to a God of unlimited goodness and unlimited ability. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes.